your unique sparkle. What makes you unique? We will be focusing on your fears and any disbeliefs that may be holding you back. Find that confidence and building your self-esteem. It's about knowing your self-worth and establishing what your purpose or mission is in this world. Discover what makes you beautiful and show your unique sparkle today.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to Your Unique Sparkle. This is Debbie, and I'm going to be your host today. And today I have a very special guest. I can't wait to introduce you to him. This is the author of The Heroic and Exceptional Minority. This is Gregory Diehl. How are you doing, Gregory?
I'm fantastic. Thanks for having me. Are you having a heroic and exceptional day?
I always am. You know what? I'm one of those people that I annoy other people because I'm always happy. I mean, granted, we do have our ups and downs, but I really try to look at my downs as, okay, Debbie, how can I pull through this? How can I take this and make me stronger? That sort of thing. I mean, we all have our ups and downs, but I really try to look at the positive on things. There's a reason why we go through everything. And I'm sure you have thoughts about that, don't you?
Well, in many ways, I'm sort of the inverse, actually. Someone today just asked me, Gregory, why do you always look so suspicious? And I think they meant not that I look like a suspicious person, like I've done something wrong, but that I am suspicious of other people. Like I'm always being skeptical. A little skeptical and scrutinizing everyone. It's just my nature, I suppose.
Yeah. You know, that's just you.
And there are benefits to every arrangement of personality traits you could possibly have. So why fight it?
Why fight it? No, that's just you. And like when people say things to me about other people or something, I'll say, well, that's just him. That's what I love about him. He's just him. And you embrace being you. And that's kind of what your unique sparkle is all about, is just embracing your uniqueness. So I want to talk about your book. Now, first of all, it says that you're in Armenia.
I am. I have a house in a village here. For the last 2.5 years I've been here.
Incredible. So how do you like living there?
It is an experience with its ups and its downs and its benefits and its problems like anything else. I am a pretty well-traveled person. I spent basically all of my 20s hopping around the world. And then I decided it was time to settle down somewhere. And in Armenia hit many important criteria for me. Mostly it's a place where I feel like I can be left alone and be free to be myself. Mm-hmm. And the culture feels very ancient and authentic. And I respect a lot of things about the people here.
Yeah.
So you know, no place is perfect, but as far as finding a place that's good and comfortable to spend long-term, and who knows if I'm going to be here forever, but yeah, this has been an interesting experience, a good place to write more books.
I love it. So what brought you to this book? I mean, has this been on your mind just to write this book? Is this your first book? How many books have you written?
This is my fourth nonfiction book, and it has been the hardest one to write, which is odd because it's not actually that long. It's only about 50,000 words, about 200 pages in print. The last book I wrote was more than twice the length. It was a book about how to write and publish books called The Influential Author. It was a very detailed, in-depth breakdown of everything that goes into writing and producing and publishing and marketing a book. Nice. A very technical, very instructive and educational kind of book. And that didn't take me very long to write because it was all just stuff I knew really well, conversations I'd had with people before. And it was very clear what the purpose of every chapter and every subsection was. You know, it's okay, here's the part where I'm talking about how you record an audio book and do this part of the publishing process. Fine. Easy peasy.
I love it. I'm getting that one next. I love it.
Yeah, sure. Yeah. This one, though, despite its relatively shorter length, required way more attention to detail in every aspect of its style and presentation and what was going to be included or not included. I had to edit and rewrite almost every sentence of this book several times over about 3 years. I mean, I wasn't exclusively doing this for 3 years. I took long breaks and did a lot of other things, but it was so much work just to figure out the form it should end up being in. As opposed to something like The Influential Author, it was very easy to outline and arrange from the beginning because its purpose was so straightforward. A book like this is much more ethereal and hard to put down in concrete terms. And I don't even really know how I ended up arranging it in the form it's in now with these 36 short chapters that are really just about categories of principles of difficulties you're likely to encounter if you're what I call a heroic and exceptional person, but somehow ended up that way. And so far, a lot of people seem to like it, but it's definitely not going to be for everyone. And that's okay, because it's not really supposed to be.
Exactly. Well, what do you mean? Tell us what you mean by the words heroic and exceptional.
Yeah. So that's what I opened the book with, just really trying to explain how I arrived at this breakdown of concepts and what kind of person this is really for. And it really just came down to two complementary concepts in my mind, the heroism and exceptionality, both of which are fairly easy to define on their own. But it's when you combine them together that you really start to see the impact and potential of what kind of person I'm talking about. A heroic person is what we would colloquially call a good person, right? Somebody who strives to be moral and upstanding and virtuous and pay attention to the consequences of their actions and be responsible. And anyone can be this, right? If you are a person who cares about the nature and effects of your actions and doing the right thing and always reflecting on if you are being the best person you can be, then you are what I call a heroic person. You strive to become the embodiment of your values, essentially, right? No matter how difficult that might be sometimes. But where this really gets interesting is when you combine that with the concept of exceptionality, which is somebody who operates starkly differently than the norms of their culture or society, somebody who is extra humanly enabled or gifted in some way that means they cannot really function according to the same rules and expectations of their culture. And that's also where somebody becomes potentially very dangerous. And that's a point I bring up several times in the book, that someone who is exceptional, extremely gifted or different or an outlier in some way, but who has no sense of moral heroic responsibility can easily become what we would call a villain, a very dangerous and destructive person who may have even convinced themselves that they are doing the right thing, but doesn't take the necessary steps to really embody the responsibility that comes with having power and being able to do things that other people can't do, whatever that might be. So that's something I caution against pretty much throughout the book, and something I was honestly pretty worried about while writing it and editing it, that there could be a large class of people who read a book like this and only get half the message, who read something like this coming out saying, well, according to this book, I'm an exceptional person who's better than everyone else. Therefore, I can do whatever I want and social rules don't apply to me. So I'm going to become a dictator or a narcissist or something and just do whatever I want because no one could possibly understand me. And that's really the opposite of what I'm trying to get across in the books, to not let yourself become that kind of person, to embrace the responsibility.
What I liked about it was that you took the word heroism, and instead of like what we think of as like killing, you know, you're killing to be the hero of the story, but you use it in a way of being the best version of yourself, being a, you know, heroic as in taking the right and the best actions in whatever you're doing, as in good. And yes. I think that that's wonderful. I love the way that you did that. I love the words that you used. I thought it was brilliant. I found your book at some points to be hard to read because I'm more of your layman.
Okay, sure.
And but when I read through it, you know, listened to it again, because I did the audio, guys, just to let you know, because I'm a mail carrier during the day. So I did the audio, and the audio was excellent. I really enjoyed that, but it took me twice. Sometimes I have to do things over again, just so I can really think about what you're saying. And mm-hmm. I really liked that. That was enjoyable for me. So guys, if you
get that was part of the intended form of it, ultimately, with 36 short chapters. Yes. You know, I figured people would want to read one chapter and then maybe take a break for several days even to process that or reread it if necessary, and easily skim through and find maybe even a particular paragraph that just stood out to them as particularly meaningful. Whereas if I'd done longer form chapters, even with the same amount of total content, it might've been harder to absorb it in these short chunks. So I hope that came across well for people.
I think so. I think it's great. What I didn't see is like, what are your religious beliefs? Because can I even ask that?
You can. It's an interesting choice of wording, though, that you would say religious, because I think that denotes something.
Well, some people
specific.
Believe the universe. They believe, and it's funny because like everybody has their own, you know. And I you didn't really kind of put into words what your beliefs were or anything like that, but just that I know you're a good person. That's all I know. Well,
I try to be. Yeah.
Well, we all try. Most of us, anyway.
Well, a word that I use many times throughout the book, in fact, it's even in the subtitle, a guide to mythological self-awareness and growth. You see,
yes.
That word mythology or mythological encompasses to me, the way I use the word, it encompasses what we would call religious beliefs. Essentially, our mythology is our understanding of how the world works and our place within it, including right. the things that we can't necessarily directly confirm through like scientific means, like the laws of physics or something.
Yes.
Right. It's our overarching sense of narrative about what the purpose of everything is, including Absolutely. The purpose of us, right?
Well, and I purposely knew that's what you did, but then I was like, I wonder what his religious beliefs are. And it just made me actually think.
Yeah, so you can get mythology from religion if there's one that particularly speaks to you and works for you. You can get mythology from a comic book or a movie or a book you read. In fact, I give a few examples at the introduction to the book where I'm referencing things like how watching Superman or Star Wars or The Lion King
yes.
as a kid, even back then I could recognize that in certain kinds of stories, there was a really deep, inherent mythological meaning to them beyond just movies you'd watch because they were entertaining for an hour and then you'd forget about them and move on with your life. Certain ones stuck with you and you realize there was a reason these characters are going through these kinds of changes and learning these kinds of lessons. And some of them may have just been by complete accident by the writers and creators who just happened to make this beautiful mythological masterpiece, but others were also very clearly intentional. And even guys like George Lucas, when he talks about Star Wars, he knows his shit.
I was just going to say that to you. I was like, is that not like the perfect example of good and evil?
Exactly. And you know, he intentionally put all these mythological hero's journey kind of choices in both the original and the prequel trilogies. And he references yes. Joseph Campbell and the hero's journey. And he knows why Luke Skywalker is making this choice or struggling with this thing at this particular time, because he is trying to send this kind of message out into the world just beneath this veneer of lasers and spaceships and space travel and all that fun, exciting stuff that gets us interested in the first place.
Absolutely. Yeah, I love that.
And I don't have to believe that Luke Skywalker really exists to derive the meaning from a story like that. That's the beauty of mythology. I don't have to believe that it is literally true as long as I can accept that it is figuratively true.
Yes, very nice. I like that. Yeah, I loved how you included teens, because teens, I think, especially teens growing up nowadays, they're hit with so many things, challenges, and wanting to fit in.
Mm-hmm.
For someone who's different or thinks differently, I mean, it's so easy to take the easy path and just follow.
Yeah.
And I think it's really neat that if we can encourage teens to be the best versions of themselves and to break out of their comfort zone, you know, and to understand that in order to be the best version of yourself, to keep going and moving forward, even though other people maybe aren't following you.
And it was actually a little bit of a risky choice to specifically delineate that this book is intended for teenagers and young adults, though not exclusively just them, because of some of the reasons I brought up earlier, that it is potentially subject to misinterpretation, and I mm-hmm. could be accused of trying to negatively influence people at a very impressionable time in their life. And you could almost misread this to be like, I'm trying to start a cult or something and to indoctrinate people into my beliefs. I understand how somebody could misread that.
Right.
If they really don't get what I'm trying to get across here. But at the same time, those people who are young and in an impressionable time in their life and struggling with difficult choices in their own individuality and identity and what role they're going to play in society, those are the ones who need this kind of guidance more than anyone else. And I make direct allusions to that fact that people who are different and find appropriate mentorship in their social environment to be lacking because there just aren't enough people who understand them and can give them the kind of guidance they're looking for, mm-hmm. are in much greater danger of making serious mistakes in life or going down a dark path, joining the dark side, if you will, or just not using their gifts and their abilities and their personality and their passions to the fullest extent that they could if no one ever encourages them to, and more importantly, teaches them how to do so responsibly. So this kind of book hopefully will find its way into the hands of people like that who don't have that kind of guidance, because I certainly didn't when I was a teenager. I mean, there were certainly positive influences here and there, but I never really had like my Obi-Wan Kenobi or my Gandalf, somebody who could really just say, Gregory, I know what you're going through, and this is the journey you're on, and this is what you're going to have to learn, and here's the best advice I can give you to deal with it. I didn't really have that. And so I kind of had to figure it out through trial and error and whatever positive influences I could find. And so if it's appropriate for a really forward-thinking, ambitious, intelligent young person to read this and say, oh, finally, someone is saying what I've been waiting to hear my whole life. Like, this could hopefully potentially seriously affect the way their life ends up going in a positive way.
Sure.
I think I was thinking that the two primary audiences for this book while I was reading it are either young people in that state of development where they really need the guidance, mm-hmm. or older people who have already been through that and are in more of a position of being the mentor now. And they could read a book like this and say, well, this will really help me be a better mentor to people.
Absolutely. It's funny because I have that same vision with your unique sparkle. Mm-hmm. So I feel that I just am finishing up my online course. So it's Your Unique Sparkle online course. It's all about confidence and self-esteem. And for me, it's kind of like, I feel that it is a good purpose for young teens or impressionable, you know, at that time to help them through their struggles, or it's more for your more mature audience that has been through life. They're seeing things in a different way. That's what I went through. I went through my struggles in my life. I've lost 100 pounds. I'm kind of on.
Congratulations.
Thank you. So I went through a horrible divorce, you know, where I lost all of my self-esteem, all my confidence, everything. And I've had to find myself again. So I've had to do my own self-inquiry, you know, and find myself. What do I want out of life? What am I here for? What is my purpose? So that's what has been on my mind. I've had to find myself again. So I know that there's a lot of people out there that are going through change in their lives, and they come to this road, a fork in the road, where you just go, okay, well, I could take this path, or I could take this path or this path. Where do I want to go? And they don't know where to go. So, and sometimes people will get frightened and they'll just stay in their norm, their normacy, because they're comfortable and they're not willing to break out of that comfort mm-hmm. to have the life that they want. To pursue the life that they want. And I want to encourage that they do, because I know that life is, it is what you make it, but they're afraid to take that step. I believe everybody has something unique about them. Now, it's their choice if they want to do something good with it, like what you're saying, and they want to share it and make a difference in the life or lives of others, or maybe even impact the world, which I think your book is just brilliant. I can't say
well,
enough of that.
Thank you.
Yeah.
It's interesting that you mentioned the comfort zone, which can definitely be a killer of ambition in all forms of exceptionality. And if you remember, the title of the first chapter in the book is Disappointment and Start, because that to me is the logical starting point of any kind of heroic journey. Is the protagonist, so to speak, which is each of us, has to realize that they are discontent with the status quo, with the way things are, or if you use Joseph Campbell's terminology, what he would call the ordinary world, the state of things in the story world at the beginning of the journey, then yes. Something has to happen, usually something we call an inciting incident that shakes that ordinary world and changes yes. things, or at least creates the opportunity for the hero, the protagonist, to say, wait, things are different now, or they could be different if I make this choice to pursue this thing I have never done before. But in order to do that, he has to know that he does not like what he already has. He has to be willing to admit that to himself, and he would rather risk this unknown new world, which could be amazing or terrible, but he would rather take the risk than stick with what he knows he doesn't want. That's the beginning of all major transformation in life.
Absolutely. Amen. I love it. It's so true. I am just loving that. Is there anything else you want to tell everybody?
I would just say, I tried to write the book and even you know, aspects of its title and cover design and everything. I tried to create it in such a way that hopefully it would be really obvious to potential readers if this was the kind of book they wanted. I wanted them to read a title like The Heroic and Exceptional Minority and either completely overlook it and ignore it, say, I don't know what that's all about. Probably not for me. Fine, go read another book. There are many great books out there. Or you'll say, whoa, that sounds like something written for me, The Heroic and Exceptional Mind. What does that mean? But I don't know. That's really intriguing to me.
Yes,
the name of your podcast, even Your Unique Sparkle, will speak very directly to a certain kind of person, of course. And that's what I think good branding should be. It should allow the audience to self-select very effectively.
Nice.
And, you know, I think you're either going to start reading this book and get what I'm going for and say, okay, this is the kind of journey I'm going on here. This is what this guy is going to be talking about, what he's trying to accomplish, or you're just not going to get it. It's going to go over your head. And that's fine, again, because there is some other message out there that will speak to you in the way this one speaks to the right kind of person. So, you know, it's still very early in its publication. It just came out less than a month ago. There's been some very good response and traction so far. Some people have even reached out to me and wanted to talk and say, like, you know, like, how did you write this thing that spoke so clearly and perfectly to me? But the general public response is still yet to be seen. We'll see what people think of it and how far it goes. But I think for a very specific kind of person, this has the potential to be a very impactful book. And that was my hope with these 3 years that I was struggling to edit it and get it to the point where I could publish it.
Absolutely. You know what I think the neat thing is that even though when you're long gone, you know, left the planet, you'll still have this. It's part of history. You know what I mean? And I think that
is just me will still be out there, hopefully making some kind of positive impact on people.
And I think that's gorgeous. I think that's beautiful, Gregory. So proud of you. Yay.
Thank you.
Hey, you're welcome. You know, it's funny because my podcast says that 50% of my audience is male.
Okay.
And I don't know, your unique sparkle kind of to me, I thought was more women, but it seems that I have men listening too as well. So that's kind of nice.
Yeah.
Yeah. Cause it goes for everybody. Yeah. So you are the first male guest that I've had on the show.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. But I do know that men are out there listening to it. So I'm sure they're going to enjoy this one.
And that's interesting because I kind of expected an inverse thing with the heroic and exceptional minority. I am a man, obviously, so I have a masculine perspective. Mm-hmm. And I kind of pictured it being more directly relatable to men as I understand them, but certainly not exclusively to men. And there have been some female readers who have told me that it's very, very impactful for them too, even though I kind of pictured it would be more appropriate for men naturally and just what I know men tend to struggle with, or at least in a masculine kind of way. But it's certainly not exclusively for them.
That is correct. I love it. That's brilliant. Well, Gregory, thank you so much for being on today's podcast. I have really enjoyed our conversation. I enjoyed your book. And to anybody else out there listening, Gregory, do you have any kind of way that people can get a hold of you if they want to ask you any questions or anything?
You can go to my author website, which is gregorydeehl.net. Deehl is spelled D-I-E-H-L, or just contact at gregorydeehl.net if you just want to send me an email. But I think hopefully after listening to this, you have a sense of whether this is the kind of book you'd like to read or not. And if it is, go check it out on Amazon. Read a few of the reviews if that will help you make up your mind. But you know, if it's what you're looking for, I suggest read it. And if you'd like to talk to me after you've read it to tell me, you know, if it was effective for you or what it meant for you, or if there's any other questions I can answer for you after that, I'd be happy to do that.
All right, you guys, that is it for today. Join us next week for a new exciting episode of Your Unique Sparkle. Thanks, guys. Bye.
Bye.
I'm going to ask you, if you enjoyed this podcast or can think of anyone that might get something from this, to please share it with your friends. And also hit that follow button so you never have to miss another episode. And if you'd like to hear some more great healthy tips inspiring your mind, body, and soul, please follow us on Facebook and Instagram at Eat Right in the letter N, Fit, the number 4, Life. So it's Eat Right and Fit for Life at Instagram or at Facebook. You can find us in Facebook groups for just more healthy tips. Please be true to yourself, know your self-worth, and stand for your beliefs. I wish you all the best in this world. May God bless you and keep you safe, and we'll talk to you soon.